evening, everyone, and thank you for coming. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming center stage with me tonight. I'm Carrie Ines, your host. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be talking about bullying. That's a subject that you hear a lot about today. So we thought we'd go straight to the experts. Tonight we're going to be talking to author Sonia J. Bowser. Ms. Bowser was born in Santa Fe, New Mexico. She grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Austin, Texas. She pursued a degree in mass communications at Mars Brown College. She did freelance writer work for 12-year-old Kenya James with Black Girl Magazine. Her first book was titled Learning to Love Me, a self-esteem, Learning to Love Me, Self-Esteem for Children, released in 2006. She has participated in brunches, town rallies, community centers, and bookstores across the U.S. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the stage for the very first time, author of Bully Bullies, Sonia J. Bowser. Good evening, Sonia. How are you? Good evening, Sonia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Love your book. First of all, I'd like to say I love your book. For those of us who may think we know what bullying is and maybe we don't, explain to us exactly what a bully is.
Well, a bully is a person who tries to hurt others by making them feel uncomfortable with words that they're saying, by either being emotionally abusive to them, by calling them ugly, stupid, dumb. It can be kicking them, punching them, tripping them, spreading rumors about them, any type of peer pressure that encourages bad behavior. That's bullying.
That's bullying. How did you come up with the concept for this? I mean, first of all, tell us the title. Your title is very unique, Bully Bullies. How did you come up with the title and the concept for this book?
Well, I came up with the concept from my niece, Soraya Martin. She's, at the time, she was 6 years old, and she had a lisp. I had actually just lost my job, actually left it, actually, because I was getting bullied by two young ladies there. And I took a break, you know, from trying to find another job. So when I did that, I went to see my sister in Austin, Texas, and her daughter has a lisp. So I spent some time with them, and I thought to myself, after I left them, I said, you know, she's going to have a really hard time with getting bullied. I was like, and I know what I just went through, and I don't want her to have to go through that. So it just kind of came to me, the whole concept. I said she could be the face of it, and I just kind of wrote the story in my head. And Zoli, I had already had the name Zoli from, like, a couple of years ago, and because I was going to do a book about a little girl named Zoli and her brother Xylee. And so I just kind of came up with that concept overnight, pretty much. God just gave me the whole vision of Zoli Z, and that's how she was born, from my niece Soraya Martin. And Bully Bullies came from the two girls that I was getting bullied with my job, bullies. They both were bullies, and then bully. They bully. They're both a bully, and then they're bullies. So it's not just one person. Sometimes people have more than one bully, so it's bully bullies. So bully and then bully.
Gotcha. So, and I think I asked you this, but for someone who may not understand, when you say lisp, explain to them what that term is, the reason you felt your niece was going to have so much trouble in life with that condition.
A lisp is when a person has a hard time pronouncing, like, the letters T, H, or Z. So instead of saying words like Zoli, they might say Tholi. Or, like, they have a very hard time pronouncing certain words. Like, instead of saying pronounce them, I say pronounce, like s. So it sounds like a s instead of a s. So it's kind of, it's weird. It makes them sound like they're dumb, you know. So some people that had lisp, if you know Russell Simmons, he's a famous, well-known person who has a lisp. And it gets kind of, when he talks, it's kind of like, really? But he has a lisp. So that's what a lisp is, when they have a hard time pronouncing certain letters, and they can't open their mouth wide enough to pronounce it right, or they just don't want, you know, sometimes it's just a speech impediment.
Okay, gotcha. So seeing your niece and the trouble that she was having, you just knew that she was going to need some help, and so that's how you came up with the concept for this book.
Yes, I knew she was going to need some help. Her and my other niece actually have a lisp, and I thought it was cute. It's cute when they're little. You know, it's like, oh, they're so cute. They say their words so cute, and, you know, but I said when she gets older, you know, and when she gets to school, that it's not going to be cute to the other children. You know, they're going to be like, you sound stupid, you know, and I could just hear all the little things she's going to have to go through, and she's sensitive. She's a Pisces like me. I said, oh, yeah, she's going to be very sensitive about things that bother her, and actually, she actually got bullied by a boy about her lisp and two girls. So, ironically, I actually wrote what actually was going to happen to her, and it actually did happen to her.
Wow. Yeah. And weren't you a victim of bullying when you were a child as well?
Yes, I was. I was bullied because I had big lips and a big nose. I was told I had a wide nose, and I was told that my lips were so big that I could flip them inside out and float, and that I could pull my lips over my face and make a scully cap.
Okay.
And, yeah, I went through those. They was like, you're a pretty girl, but you got some big lips, and you got a wide nose. And I was like, thanks, I'm so happy to hear that every day.
So you were able to deal with it as a child without needing counseling or anything like that?
I found another way to deal with my bullying, which is something I wouldn't suggest to young, you know, I wouldn't suggest other children to do. But I actually became a comedian, like a class clown. So I would just start clowning. You know, like if they say, oh, you got some big lips, I'd be like, baby, you need to be the last one talking, honey. Your mama's so fat, she got on her clothes in the driveway. Let's not go there today. You know, I would just start being, you know, silly. I'd get back with them, you know. So instead of them hurting me, it hurted me because I would find myself tucking my lips in and, you know, looking at my nose, you know, like if I took a picture, I'm like, dang, my nose is so big. But I had never thought that before until someone said that to me. So I just became a comedian, and I, you know, I tried to outdo, you know, everybody that had something to say about me. So I was like, puh, you're not going to get to me. That's why your mama's so ugly. You know, she got your mama's hair is so short, she got to roll her hair with rice. You know, I would just, whatever I had to do to get them off of me, then it would shut them up.
You would not recommend that to children. So what would you recommend to someone who is currently being a victim of bullying?
I would recommend that they tell. They have enough avenues right now. See, we didn't have bullying prevention programs or no one talking to us about what bullying is. I mean, I never even heard the word bullying, you know, growing up. You know, you just dealt with it. I would recommend that they would, you know, since they know that they have an outlet, they can go talk to a parent, go talk to a teacher, go talk to their older brother or sister who they know they can trust, someone they can trust and listen to. I had my teacher that I could talk to, but I never told her I was bullied, but I did have someone I could talk to. So I would suggest, you know, someone like that, you know, that they feel like they can talk to.
And, you know, our school's doing enough. I mean, you know, I know – you know, the teacher can't be everywhere all the time to protect your kids, you know, every minute of the day while they're in school. But are schools doing enough? Do they have enough programs in place to deal with bullying right now?
I think the schools are doing what they can do. Sometimes, you know, with school systems, because it's becoming such a big problem, they're making, you know, funds available to implement bullying programs. As of, like, 2012, I know Texas passed a law against bullying, and certain, you know, laws have been passed that will allow people to incorporate bullying into their budget. But I'm not sure about other states and how serious they are about bullying. But I think the schools are doing all that they can do right now because a lot of times children are afraid to speak up and speak out. So a lot of schools don't even know that the majority of their students are being bullied or, you know, are being exposed, like bystanders are watching bullying and are afraid to speak up and speak out because they don't want to look like a tattler. So I just think they're doing what they can do, you know, what's in their sight, you know, what they can see. But it's the unseen that's scary.
Wow. So, and you just brought something to my attention that I wasn't aware of. Texas does have something on the books about bullying?
Yes, they do. I'm trying to see. I have my paperwork where they do have something to where you actually, it's actually against the law to bully. And it actually just came into effect in 2012 where, you know, there are stronger bullying laws in place. People just don't know about it, I guess. But there is a according to starting in 2012 to 2013, it expands the requirements on school districts to address bullying and harassment, such as parental notification programs for students and staff, providing counseling to bullies and victims. So they're required to adopt a policy on these, according to Section SB 471 and HB 1942 in Texas. So it's becoming pretty much the law here. So if
let's just say we're talking about Texas because, you know, that's the only one we're aware of right now,
right.
Or the only thing we're aware of. If a child is being bullied in school in Texas, they are to go to a teacher, a principal, and then there's a law on the books that can handle it from there.
Well, yeah, because the parents, it looks like the school districts are required to notify the parents that the child has experienced bullying, and then they're also required to provide counseling to the bullies and the victims, and their job is to protect those who are being bullied, who report it, because sometimes when children speak up and speak out, and that's even with adults on your jobs, whatever, there's retaliation, and a lot of times that's why they don't speak out, because they're afraid of retaliation, because when you're alone and no one's around, you know, the bully can do pretty much what they want to do because they feel like they have no boundaries, just opportunities. So.
Wow. It's crazy. You know, I thought about a lot about this week. You know, when someone is a bully, I can only imagine the anger that must be in somebody for them to be acting out like that toward another person. Do you think most bullying comes from, like, a home atmosphere that's not right? Maybe the environment of the home is that of, you know, abuse, and so therefore the child is acting out?
Not necessarily. Some children who are bullies, they come from homes where they're actually wealthy, where they get everything they want. Some children are just bullies because they're spoiled brats, and they're used to getting their way. So, hey, I'm at school, I'm popular, I do what I want to do, and I'm going to get my way. So it's not necessarily coming from a bad environment. You can come from a very good environment where you get everything you want. And so you use your same weight that you will use at home and you throw it around at school. So, that's for the wealthy children or children who are spoiled. For children who come from bad neighborhoods or good neighborhoods, it doesn't matter. It does go into your home life. If you're exposed to a lot of abusive language or your parents are cussing you out and you're experiencing, some children experience sexual abuse from parents and siblings, verbal abuse. I always ask children, have they seen the movie Matilda, where she was bullied by her mom, her dad, and her brother? Then she goes to school and is bullied by her principal. You know, the same thing with the movie Annie. She's bullied by her caretaker. So children, you know, it's all around. You know, it just it does start at home. If your parents are not teaching you how to respect others and how to have compassion and care about other people and their feelings and all of that, you know, that comes along with raising a responsible child, then you're going to have a bully on your hands because they don't know, you know, they don't care. Especially when you're around parents that cuss their own friends out or, you know, wasn't brought up themselves the correct way.
So we can't necessarily assume just because a child is physically abusive toward others that he's being abused at home.
Almost definitely. You can't do that, no.
Wow. If you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. And we're talking about bullying with author Sonia J. Bowser. She wrote the book Bullies. Sonia, you know, when I looked on your website, which is awesome, I mean, and your artwork in your book is just awesome. Who did your artwork in your book?
This guy named Jason Fuller.
Wow, he's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, your pictures really take you to a place. You know, a lot of times, you know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. When you when you look at the pictures in your book, you really do feel like you're connecting with the story, which is sometimes it doesn't happen, you know, depending upon who does the artwork for somebody's book. So shout out to the young man that did your artwork because it's awesome. In the book, you know, I realize that your character obviously is very strong because I understand that you have partnered up with the City of Dallas Youth Commission to use
yes.
Characters.
Yes, Zoli Z has such an impact on children and adults and teenagers that it is unreal. I mean, you have adults wearing her buttons and her posters and parents telling their kids don't touch the book. That book, that's their book. It's like, it's almost like a Dora or like a Harry Potter type of effect Zoli Z has on people. I think it's because she's so relatable and her character is so, you know, it's so real to people. It's like Zoli Z is her own entity. And when people read her books and they see her face, they just fall in love with her. And I think that's what happened with the Dallas City Youth Council is that they love Zoli Z. And even one of the guys brought every single product that I have of Zoli Z to redo his daughter's bedroom and her birthday party, Zoli Z party. So, I mean, people, they just love her. So that's how I was able to connect with the Dallas City Youth Council because everyone fell in love with her. So,
so you turned Zoli Z into a brand.
Oh, yeah, she's an empire.
Wow, I love that. Absolutely love that. So so there is a place where people can go and buy all these products about Zoli Z?
They can order. I'm actually going to put them on her website because she has flashcards now and she has so much. They can order on her website. We're still, I'm waiting to get everything together that I'm going to offer because she is a series book, so each book I'm going to release different products. So with this one, I'm just trying to decide which products that I want to release before I actually put them on the website.
That is incredible. That is incredible. And Sonya, for those who may not know y'all, Sonya is very young to have, I mean, really done it. Sonya, how old are you?
I'm 34.
34, y'all. So, I mean, I'm really proud of you. I mean, seriously, just to think that somebody 34, an African-American, has, you know, put this together as well as it has, and it's a class act, and that's, you know, a lot of times we'll drop the ball a little bit, but the way you've done it, you know, your website, the book, you know, turn it into a brand, that's just awesome. I mean, absolutely awesome. But back to Zoli Z. So you come up with this concept, you write the book, and I understand in order to put this out or get this project off the ground, you actually became homeless in the process.
Yes, I did. I decided when I got back from seeing my sister and my niece that this is what I wanted to do. And in order to do it, you know, it's going to be a sacrifice. And I wanted her to be a series book because I wrote four of her books already. They're ready to go. And so when I started getting that type of energetic flow coming through my spirit, I said, oh, no. I said, she's more than just a book. She's a movement. So I decided to sell everything out of my house. I had just got brand new furniture, everything. I had a fully furnished house, sold everything out of it. Moved out, stayed with six different families, lived out of my car, went through six different jobs because I was temping here, temping there, you know, whatever I needed to do to keep money in my pocket for Zoli Z. And I was paying the illustrators, just doing whatever, like, I needed to do stay on people living out my car just to pay all these people off. And it cost me well over $10,000 because her book is also an audio book and it comes with music. So that meant I had to go to the studio, record her music, record her voice for her voiceover. So she's like, you know, I wanted to make her as real as possible and I wanted her book to be top grade quality. So I knew that in order to do all of that, I had to sacrifice everything that I had to do it. And I still do that now.
That's incredible. So was there a blueprint that you went by in order to make all this happen, or did God just give you some, you know, incredible insight? I mean, how did you know how to do all of these things?
Well, like I said, when I came back from Austin, Texas, on my way back, I couldn't even think straight because it was like someone had turned on a water faucet and it wouldn't turn off. And so I couldn't even sleep that night. All I could do was actually her first book I wrote was called Why I Sleep with the Nightlight On. And so I kind of wrote that whole story. I mean, I started, he gave me so many stories to write of her, I just started writing. And it was like I said, it was like a water faucet turned on in my head and I couldn't turn it off. So I just was like, let me just keep writing. And even her outfit, every single outfit in her book, down to her earrings, all of her friends' outfits, all of their skin tones, all of their likes, dislikes, everything just came. I didn't have to sit and think, what is she going to like? What is he going to like? What's she going to dress like? None of that. It came to me. Her twin brother, she has a twin brother. Everything, it just flowed. It's like I said, a water faucet.
And you were inspired to do all this at what age? You're 34 now, so you were inspired to do all this at what age?
At 26, when I wrote my first book, and it's actually still in high demand. People still, someone actually just emailed me about getting her book again, getting a Learning to Love Me book. It was at 26 when I was experiencing low self-esteem, no sense of direction, because I wanted to sing. I've always been a singer. I rap, I sing, I write poetry. And so since none of that was happening for me, I had did American Idol in Houston. I have made it out of 3,000 people. I was the top 250 out of 3,000 people. I made it to the top 250. Out of the top 250, they narrowed it to 250, and I didn't make the cut. So I was so disappointed. I was like, that's it. I give up singing. I've been at this ever since I was like 3 years old. I'm sick of it. And so I was like, you know, I'm just gonna write. That's what I do best. And that's when I wrote my first book, and it, the same thing, it flowed like water. And I didn't have to sacrifice so much with it as I did with Zoli Z. So that's when it started at 26.
Okay. Okay, y'all got the background now. So let me go back to bullying. I just had to know your story, and I know everybody else wanted to know it as well. It's incredible. I mean, it is really inspirational to Sonya to know that somebody had a vision and followed through with it. I mean, you know, you sacrificed a lot, but just to know that you had this insight and you know, and was able to make it happen, you know, I'm just like, wow, kudos to you. Kudos to you.
Yeah.
Back to bullying. Back to bullying. Because we got to save somebody tonight. We got to save somebody whose child may be suffering from bullying and may not know what to do. We want to help a parent tonight. So if a parent has a child, let's just say, who's suffering from bullying, and the parent may not know what to do, what advice would you give to that parent?
Well, I would say if the child hasn't come to them about the bullying, because it depends. If the child is getting bullied, the child might not tell the parent exactly what they're being bullied about, maybe for fear of, like Zoli, for instance, in the book, she's afraid to tell her mom because her mom told her she's a tattler and that she tells too much. So children might be afraid to tell everything. So I would suggest parents just look for signs, you know, like ripped clothes and stuff missing. You know, they can't explain cuts and bruises, and, you know, they don't seem to have friends, and they're not cheerful and happy as they usually are. They always have an attitude, or something's always wrong, or they're over-emotional about, you know, little stuff, and they always got like a tummy ache or a headache, and they just need to recognize certain signs about their child. I think paying close attention and then asking questions, you know, and letting them know that it's okay to talk to me. I'm not going to judge you. I'm here to help you. You know, I'm your mother. I love you. Please talk to me. I want to really help you. And I think that's what children need to have, that safe haven. They need to, you know, when a parent asks a child, they need to ask them not from a judging standpoint, but from a, you know, a humble, like, please tell me, I'm here to help you. And I think if a child sees that, the vulnerability in a parent to just, you know, let down their guards and any judgment towards them, that then that child will feel comfortable. Because a lot of times children who, they don't tell their parents because they feel like their parents are going to, like my niece, she was afraid to tell my sister that she was being bullied because my sister is like, you know, you're always whining. So my niece is like, mm-mm, I won't tell her, you know. So I think that that's one way that a parent can, you know, some ways, I'm just, you know, saying that a parent can help their child.
Okay, because in recent years we've heard of people committing suicide over bullying. I mean, cyberbullying or you know, different types of bullying that people have just, you know, really, I guess, not been able to see a way out. For someone who may be at that point, you and I may know or rationalize the fact that suicide is never an option, but what would you say to someone who's just fed up and just not able to see their way clearly through this too will pass? What would you say to them?
I would say, let me think about that for a second, because, I mean, it is the first thing that will come to your head. It's just, it'll pass. This is just the storm. God is trying you. No one's trying to hear that when they're at their end's wit and, you know, they're very emotional and experience a lot of anxiety. I think that I would tell them to just, you know, ask them first, what do you think could help you? Like, besides taking your own life, what else do you think could solve this problem? You know, I would ask them to help me to find a solution that could possibly work for them first. You know, like, what can we do? How can we brainstorm? Let's sit down and let's brainstorm together. Let's see. Okay, so what really bothers you? What's the thing that they say or do to you that really just takes you there every day? And once I find out, you know, what that is, then I can say, okay, what do you think the next step should be? I think just getting the child to think. Instead of me telling them what to do, I want them to tell me what else they think they can do besides taking their life. And, you know, what can I do to really help you besides just going up to your school, talking to the principal and teacher? If they're not going to do anything, what else can we do? You want to file a police report? What can we do? You know, so I'm saying just helping them to use their own minds to find other options.
Are there support groups out there for, like, teens and tweens that, you know, may be dealing with this?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
Are there support groups for kids?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part. Yes, there actually are hotlines for children to call into that are confidential. You can call into and report bullying. I know there is a website in particular that you can do that, and they're reported to that school or wherever that a child is getting bullied. And I actually don't have that website on hand, but I can get it to you after the show if parents call in and they should want that information.
Okay. We'll post it. Then once you get it to me, I'll post it on the front page of the show.
Okay.
Okay, we can do that. You know, one thing I thought about this week as I was preparing for the show, can anybody find themselves a victim of bullying? I mean, because, you know, I thought to myself, well, are there just certain people who are, you know, targets for bullying, or can anyone find themselves a victim of bullying?
You can be a bully. Anybody that is a human being, mm-hmm. even animals bully each other, if you just observe, can be a bully. Bullying is a behavior. You know, we all say things. I don't know anyone, unless you're Jesus, that's walking around that's perfect and that doesn't say mean things about people, because we all have said mean things about people. The problem is the bullying comes when you say it every single time you see them, to where you're trying to make them feel bad. And that's where it gets to bullying. But I don't think that no one's exempt from being a bully. It's just pretty much a choice that you make when you are approached with a situation. When you're faced with a situation, it's up to you how you handle it, you know, because some people are more vulnerable than others.
Wow. Are there any statistics on how many kids are actually victims of bullying a year? Do we know any numbers on that?
Well, I know that 20% of students experience bullying at some point. I don't know the actual statistics as far as that, because they vary, because it's, you know, every state is different. But I do know one statistic that is solid, that which is 160,000 students miss school each year because of they're afraid of being bullied. They stay home from school. That is one statistic that seems to stick. But I've never seen just a certain statistic that says this is the actual statistic this year. I haven't seen that, because it varies. Because, like, again, everybody doesn't report bullying. So, and some people are afraid to tell. So it's just not a solid number.
Okay. If you just tuned in, you've come Center Stage tonight. I'm Jerry Hyde, your host, and we're talking about bullying with author Sonia J. Bowser. She wrote the book, Bully, Bully. Sonia, you know, I thought about tonight as we were getting ready to go on. Are there different degrees of bullying? Because, you know, sometimes somebody may bully you because you're short, or somebody may bully you because, you know, you're too tall, or somebody may bully you. You know, I was thinking, it doesn't always have to be a bad thing. They could be bullying you because you're cute. So aren't there just different types of bullying? There doesn't have to be something wrong with you for you to be bullied. It's just the fact that for whatever reason, that person doesn't like you and is singling you out. Is that not correct?
Yes, and I actually experienced that type of bullying when I was in eighth grade. And Zoli, actually, I take her through that actual journey that I went through in the book, and that seems to be the children's favorite part. But I was bullied, and it was like you said, it was like a cute bully. But sometimes it still is aggravating. But it was a boy named Richard, and every time he liked me. So every time I walk in the classroom door, he'd yell out, "Captain Bowser, Mauser, Wowser, oh, yeah, oh, 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 yeah." And he literally did this every day. It never failed. Never failed. And that's every time I walk in the classroom door. And my teacher would be like, "Shut up, Richard." You know, he wasn't really bullying me. He just was like, but it's nerve-wracking because I just knew when I opened that classroom door, if he was there, it was on.
He was just trying to get your attention.
Yes, but it becomes every day. It is a form of bullying because you really want it to stop, but it's funny. But then you're just like, okay, I don't feel like this today.
So. Oh yeah, that's funny. I'm sorry, that was a funny story. What age group can most benefit from your book or most appreciate your book?
Wow. I would say ages 7 to, like, 14, because I've seen, like I said, the bigger children, they seem to get in a tug of war with Zoli Z. And her biggest, so far, her biggest supporters have been the bigger children because I've, you know, been to the schools that are, like, you know, I've spoken to audiences of, like, 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders and 6th graders. So those are, like, the 9 and up. I haven't even had a chance to really mingle with the littler children. So it's pretty much the bigger kids that are just loving her.
Really? That's incredible. You know, I was wondering, too, you know, when I was, you know, thinking about the book itself, are there easy ways in which you can identify a bully? I mean, because sometimes, you know, I heard you on an interview say that you were bullied in the workplace currently, if I understood you correctly. So,
yes.
When you walk, is that true?
Yes, it is.
When you first went on the job, did you pick up, like, wow, that person's going to be a problem? Did you pick it up, or did it just hit you by surprise? I mean, what happened?
Well, most of the time they start off as your friend. They want to get to know you. They want to be in your business. And when they find out that you're not about mess and you're not, you know, because I wasn't brought up to be messy and, you know, putting people down. And so a lot of times I run into bullying is because I don't do what everybody else does. You know, I'm my own person. I define me. I don't need you to define me with your clique. So because of that, you start off cool, and then when they see that you're not going to do what they do, then you become a problem. You know, you're like the sore thumb that sticks out because the leader – there's always a leader. Then they want to be the one to run the show. And when they see that your show is on another channel and not theirs, then there's a problem. And that's what happens with me. That's what happened to me on my job now is that, you know, if I don't want to go to lunch with you guys, I don't have to. If I don't want to go to happy hour because I'm doing some Zoli business, I don't have to, or I don't drink, I don't want to do all of that. So they're like, well, who do you think you are? And I'm like, who do I think I am? Me? So that's, you know, when it becomes a problem. And that's what happened with my job. You know, they don't like that. They don't like individuality. And so that's what I'm dealing with. You don't recognize it because people come to you with a smile on their face. You know, I'm your friend. Hi, I'm so-and-so. And they tell you everything. And then next thing you know, you tell them what you're doing. You're doing something positive, you know, or, you know, they think, oh, she thinks she's better, and it's over. So that's what I experienced.
But I would think that bullying in the workplace would be different than bullying on the playground because, you know, most jobs don't tolerate or have, like, a zero tolerance for, like, certain behavior. So is there not something in place on the job that would prevent that?
No, bullying is the same thing as an adult as it is with children. The only difference is you're on a job. And a lot of adults are they're afraid to speak up, you know, because they don't want retaliation because you will lose your job. You know, people are afraid of losing their job. So, and I'm going to just kind of go off a little bit, go off the point a little bit, because that's another reason why some parents don't know how to tell their children how to speak up and speak out against bullying because they themselves are being bullied on their jobs. So you can't be a strong role model for your child when, you know, you can't be strong for yourself. And on the job, there are policies in place about harassment. You know, you go through the whole training, on the job training, where you have to go through all of these slideshows and all this stuff about harassment. And they tell you to tell and to speak up, but when you do, you become the problem because they'll tell you, we don't want drama. And so you're like, so am I drama because I'm bringing you, you know, what's going on? And then, yes, you are the problem. You become the problem. And that's the same thing with children on the playground and at school. When you report a problem, you're the problem because people really, what I found out is they don't want you to say anything. You just be quiet and you take it, you know, ignore it. I was told to ignore it on my job, ignore them. I was like, how am I going to ignore this? Every day when we ignore this? I was like, this is unreal.
So your current employer told you to ignore it?
Oh, yes, sure did. Told me to ignore it.
That does not sound like the right job, but okay. I can believe that. I definitely, because, you know, most of the time, you know, like you say, they don't want any drama. So they feel like everybody's an adult and they ought to be able to handle the situation. But I think something's wrong with your boss if they said that. 323, we're going to talk to you in a little bit. But Ms. Valz is only giving us an hour, so I got a couple more questions I got to get to before we take a call. But, Tanya, you know, another thing, you know, all of us, you know, who are Christians, we go to church. But, you know, I shouldn't say all Christians go to church. Let me take that back. But most Christians go to church. Let's just say that. And in that, I don't really see where preachers are addressing that or pastors are addressing bullying. Do you think that the church should do more in terms of addressing that issue?
I definitely think so, because church is no different from the workplace, from the playground. Bullying happens everywhere. It doesn't just stop at the church door, at the door, because Jesus is in the house. Jesus was bullied, and he was bullied by a lot of people. And I think if the church does use bullying, they can use Jesus' life as an example of being bullied and how he overcame his bullies, because he definitely was bullied and he was tortured. But he gave his life for us, yes. But, you know, we don't want them to have to give their life to show other children that they're with God, of course, because Jesus already did that for everyone. But I think the church could use him, you know, if they want to teach them on bullying. I think they can use his life as an example of overcoming bullying and encouraging young people to be ambassadors in their communities, you know, because the church, the preacher is their leader and their children's youth pastor. You know, he's a leader to them, so, or she, and they look up to them. So I think they can use that same platform of teaching, you know, spirituality and righteousness with bullying.
I agree. I 100% agree. What is the responsibility of someone if they witness someone being bullied? You know, I have a running joke. I say, you know, if I see domestic violence, you know, somewhere, I'm going to stay at a safe distance, and I'm going to call 911 and get you some help, because, you know, domestic, you know, situations are always very tricky. And so, but I wonder about bullying. What is the responsibility if you or me or someone else sees a person being bullied? What is our responsibility?
Something that I have that I've coined as a Zoli Z phrase is Zoli says, if you see something, say something. If you see it, you know, it's your job to report it. You know, if you see someone stealing something, I mean, hold on. You know, you're supposed to speak up. And that's the whole purpose of speaking up and speaking out. You know, if you see something wrong, you see someone getting bullied, you know, think about how you would feel if you were in their shoes. Would you want someone just to walk by? No, you wouldn't.
So get involved. You're saying maybe call the police?
Say something. Yes. If you see something, say something. You know, go tell the police, go report it to your teacher, go report it to someone that you can trust that's going to do something. Don't report it to someone that you know is not going to do something, because some people won't do. Children have told me, they told teachers, and they do nothing. Like I told my supervisor, and what did she tell them to do? Ignore it. You know, ignore getting bullied or whoever else. See, you know, I have a coworker that sits by me, and she sees it every day, and she just, you know, she doesn't say anything, you know. You don't speak up for someone else, and that you can save someone's life by going to tell, you know, if you're at church, tell your preacher, if you're at school, tell your teacher, if you're at home, tell your parent, you know, your somebody that you think can help. So if you see something, say something to somebody.
Okay, y'all, if you see something, say something. If you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight. I'm Carrie Hines, your host, and we're talking about bullying with author Sonia J. Bowser. She wrote the book Bully Bullies. Sonia, you know, another thing, sometimes bullies come in pairs or multiples. I mean, you know, it just doesn't have to be one person. When I was growing up, we used to always have, you know, a running joke is if you're jumped on by three or four people, you take out the biggest one and then everybody else is scattered. So how do you approach the same situation with bullying? I mean, if you got three, let's just say, on one, what's the best thing for that one person to do?
Well, that's really hard because it just depends on where the bullying is taking place. You know, if they're on the playground and some other people can see them, then they could, you know, they can make gestures, you know, ask, you know, do something to grab somebody's attention. But when you're cornered, I mean, all you can do is take the beat down because no one's around to help you nor see you. So it's important to, when you're dealing with three or more people, to try to stay in groups yourself. You know, try to stay, you know, if you try to stay around more people, try to surround yourself with friends that will speak up and speak out for you. Or people, friends that you know ain't going, they're not going to take bullying. But a lot of times, when it's a group like that, I mean, you kind of just, I mean, you, that's it. You know, if you're not around teachers or someone that can help you, you're gonna, you, they don't have a choice but to take it. I mean, unless they can fight, and I wouldn't suggest fighting, to get somebody off of you. But that's the only other thing that they could do. They have to take it because there's no, I mean, what are you gonna do? You're cornered.
But see, the scary part about that scenario, and I agree with you, but the scary part about that scenario is kids today may take that beat down today, but tomorrow come back to school with a gun. And
oh, yeah, that's retaliation.
And kill somebody. So, you know, the scenario I would think is if parents have to have some responsibility about raising these bad kids, I mean, so if your child is a bully, you know, it really should start with the parent of that bully, you know, to get some kind of handle on them. But doesn't it seem today that, you know, a lot of times these bullies just aren't being raised? These kids are just kind of like raising themselves?
I would just say that's an unfair assumption because I can't say that. You know, some children come from very good homes. I know people that have come from excellent homes and are still horrible people. It really comes down to their own morals and values. I mean, you can instill so much in a child, and they, you know, you hear parents say, I don't know where I went wrong. You know, I did everything I could do for them. I taught them right from wrong, and they still decided to go and live a life of, you know, have a drug addiction or alcohol addiction. So I think the same thing with bullying. I just can't say that they, you know, the parents are doing a bad job because, again, like I said earlier, some children are raised in very wealthy homes where they're spoiled, you know. I mean, they're rotten, and they get their way. So I just couldn't make a fair assumption. I couldn't make a fair judgment on that because, you know, I just couldn't. My mother was never there for me. So she was on drugs for 25 years. So if that's the case, then that would give me the right to say, yeah, I'm a bully because of this, that, and the other. But I had to make a choice, and my choice was I didn't want to bully no one. So it's really an individual choice, in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. Another thing, back to the book, just for a second, because the character Zoe is so cute. Tell us, where's the likeness of Zoe come from? Is that you as a child, or is that your niece, or who is Zoe?
Zoe is me as a child and my niece. She's actually my niece is actually her face. And she has my mom's dimples, but my niece looks just like me, so everybody thinks she's me anyway. My mom says Zoe looks like me when I was little, so I was like, she's pretty much a combo of me and my niece, and she has my mom's dimples.
Gotcha. Okay, we're going to go to the phone line. 323 has been holding a long time. 323-454, good evening. You're on center stage.
Hey, how's it going? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I can.
Wow, I'm enjoying this conversation. You know, definitely thank you for writing this book. I was wondering, you know, like with bullying, you know, two quick questions. You were raised in Arkansas, and all the documentaries I saw in Arkansas was like thugged out, ganged out, talking about bullies. But now it seems like the bullying has changed to cyber. And I was wondering, will you be addressing that in some of the future situations with Zoli and whatnot? Because, like, you know, you were saying that stay in groups and be around, surround yourself with people that can protect you. But online, you know, it's like the bullies are hiding behind anonymous or whatever, you know. Like, now we know, like, I can just go on an IP address and turn it into the police and we can find out where they're at. But a lot of people don't understand that. And people are bullying people and hiding behind computers with tweets, you know, and everything. So how, you know, will you be dealing with that with the kids? Because it seems like that's what the young people are dealing with now, rather than the face-to-face bullying. Yes, that goes on and whatnot, but, you know, the cyberbullying, it seems like that's what's going on now. And I was wondering, you know, will Zoli have some experiences like that and stuff like that?
I'm sure in the future I will address that because definitely cyberbullying is a major issue. And I think what I will address with Zoli with cyberbullying is the power of bleep, you know, the power of block, you know. And I think I want her mother to teach her the power of her own choice, you know, block them, delete them, and report them. Because what children don't know with Facebook and with Twitter, you can block and you can delete and you can report. And if they
not on their pages, but they're setting up pages where, you know, you can block your page, but if they take a picture of you and put you online and set up a page and say, this is the ugly girl, or this is the fat girl, or this is like, and people, you know, respond to it, because they're setting up Facebook pages just to pick, you know, just to mess with people, and people are, you know, so, you
they
know,
can
that's what
that.
I've seen
that's
a lot
of. Yeah, they can report that, though. It's, on Facebook, they have it where you can report that. Like, a lot of artists, if you notice, not if you notice, but a lot of celebrities that have pages, they have their posts, hey, this person is a poser. Please report, you know, please report this person.
Not saying that they're posing as them. They're just setting up a page talking about them. You know, like, and I was wondering, you know, because, like, they got the freedom of speech, they arguing that we got the right to talk about anybody, but when it turns to bullying, like, just say if you put up a picture of Lauryn Hill with, like, about 10 babies, you know, and they start talking about single women having children out of wedlock. I've seen blogs like that up there, you know, attacking the single mom and whatnot, you know, and to me that's kind of bullying, you know.
Well,
you want people to all be Christians and married and have kids.
I think that is bullying, but again, it will come to, because you can't, the reality in cyberbullying is you can't protect them from everything. You have to teach them how to have their own strength. And that's what I want, that's the whole character of Zoli Z, and that's how her character is in this book, is she has to, you know that she, know who she is. And I think that what our generation has lost, what we had was the power of knowing who you're a beautiful person, knowing we had positive music. You know, we had the souls and the Arrested Development group. So we had people that fed our spirit positive. And I think that's what I want to do with Zoli Z, with referencing, making a cyberbullying story about her, is the power of, you know, being strong within yourself. And, you know, yes, they're saying these mean things about you. You can report them or whatever else. But you don't have to continue to go on that page. You don't have to see all that. And you can let people know that are your friends on your page, that, hey, that's not true about me. And, you know, please don't support that. You know, please don't believe that or whatever. And if they choose to believe it, you don't have no control over what people think and what people believe about you. If people know you, then
right. Those
people and their truth is what should, you know, really matter. But what some hackers and posers or whatever want to say about you, because a lot of celebrities and children who are celebrities, for instance, Willow Smith, people say a lot of things about her, but, you know, you have to have parents that instill strength inside of your spirit in your community. That's where it goes back to our community need to, you know, teach strength, and the churches teach children self-esteem, because when you have that, then we won't have so many people, you know, allowing something like cyberbullying, which is huge. But we won't have such a major impact on them because they'll know who they are and they're secure within themselves. And they're young and they're teaching.
A lot of them think it's just got, like, with media takeout and gossip and all those, they think it's just fun to talk about. They think it's like, it's a sport, you know, instead of against the law or instead of hurting people's feelings. They said, well, if these websites got millions of followers, like on Bossip or Media Takeout or TMZ or whatever, they think it's fun to post pictures of, about people's downfalls and stuff like that, you know. And that's why I said I like that you got black people on the cover of your book, strong black women, you know. We got Michelle Obama, you know, and I just think it's positive what you guys are doing, you know, in spite of the craziness. I think we just need to stop celebrating these things that online stuff that's bullying people, like the Media Takeout. We celebrate it, and that empowers it, and then it comes offline, and then these children just see what they see, they imitate, you know.
But you know
what,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Piggyback on what he said, though, with TMZs and all the gossip sites out there like Perez, Hilton, and all the others, and all the reality TV where the uglier you are for somebody, the more ratings the show gets, aren't we kind of feeding into that, which kind of feeds into bullying? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I was saying again. Like, we have the Arrested Developments and the Soul to Souls. We have the people that fed our spirits, and these children don't. And that's why with Zoli's books, she's empowering the youth to use their voices, the power of your voice, the power her mother teaches her. It's okay to love yourself. If no one else loves you, you love you. And that's something, one of the strongest messages that Zoli's mom gives her in the book is love yourself. If no one else loves you, they think you ugly, it's important that you think you're beautiful. And I think, like with Michelle Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, and people like Jada Pinkett Smith, no matter what they may say about those people's children, they raise their children with strong morals and values. And like something First Lady Michelle Obama said about Malia and Sasha is that they have thick skin. And the reason they have thick skin is because their parents talk to them, and they let them know, you don't let this get to you. You know, you understand, we know who you are, you know who you are, and that's why they don't allow their children to watch TV. They're not allowed to have, you know, Facebook and all that stuff, because their parents set up those boundaries. And a lot of parents don't set boundaries with their children and say, no, honey, you can't have a Facebook account. No, honey, you can't have a Twitter account. Even Kamora Simmons was saying her children don't have Twitter accounts, and you know, at a certain age, you know, she'll let them get it, but not now. They're too little. And I think parents are trying to be their child's friend instead of being their child's parent. And okay, I think that's where the bullying can take effect.
I agree. Thank you, caller 323. Also, Sonia, do victims of bullying ever really get over it? If you were bullied, like, from 5 and say until, like, 12, you know, and thank God I didn't have that experience in school, but let's just say I had. Do you ever really get over that?
No, you don't. You become what's called, you just accept it. You know, you get used to it. I think it's called reticence. I can't even remember the word, but what you do is you get used to it. You know, you kind of just, you know, I got used to people saying my lips are big, so I tucked them in. You know, like I said, I became a comedian, and I found another way to deal with it. But at the same time, in the back of my head, when I was around people, yes, I tucked my lips in. Yes, I thought my nose was big and my ears was little, you know. So you get used to it. You know, you kind of just take it as a part of life. If someone always calls you ugly, you know, you try to do things that make you look cute. Like dressing, girls that wear short shorts, and they try to bring attention to something else besides your face. So, no, you never get over it. You just find something else to cover it, cover that hurt, you know, with drinking or whatever people do as they get older, to cover that part of their hurt. But, you know, they never really deal with it.
So someone who, you know, let's just say out of ignorance, may not even know that they are a bully, sometimes, you know, people don't realize words have power. And so when you're putting words out there, if someone else on the receiving end is not enjoying whatever it is that you're saying, then you should stop it. You know, and maybe sometimes, maybe someone's a bully and they don't even realize you're a bully?
Yes. If you're not raised with a conscience to think about what you do to other people and the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you, then no, you wouldn't realize you're a bully. If you're used to saying ugly things to people and no one's ever called you out on it, then no, you're gonna it's the norm for you. You know, some people call their friends. I know grown women whose friends they call each other the B word. And I'm just like, oh, please don't call me that. What, B? You know, please don't call me that. You know, that's I don't like that. You know, so it's just like you gotta call them out. Let them know, hey, that's not cool. That's bullying. You know, that makes me uncomfortable. Please don't do that. And a lot of bullying happens between friends because they can manipulate you. They know what bothers you, so they take advantage of that.
Sonya, the hour has come and gone. Where did it go?
Yes.
Sonya, I have enjoyed this conversation on bullying with you. Listen,
thanks.
Tell people how to get to your website. Tell them how to buy things that are part of the Zoe brand. How do they reach out to you?
They can log on to www.zoliz.com, and they can actually email the author at sonyabowser@zoliz.com, and you can actually go click on a link that says contact us, and you can just email me or one of my assistants from the website, and that's it, the merchandising. Also, we're going to have an event coming up. I'm not going to announce it, but I will share it with you to post later. But it's going to be a pretty big event where we're going to do an anti-bullying event here in the city of Dallas.
Wow.
So please, everybody, come support it. We have a huge celebrity guest that I'm not going to announce yet, but because we're still waiting on her final word, but she's very major, and so she's a kid, and she's very well-known. So she's one of the first Zoli Z supporters, but she's extremely, extremely, very, 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 very well known, her and her parents. So hopefully we'll have her here.
Spell out your website because it's not like it sounds.
www.zoliezi.com.
Okay. That's www.zoliezi.com. And your email again?
SonyaBowser@zoliz.com.
Sonya J. Bowser, thank you so much for being my guest tonight. I really enjoyed you.
Thank you.
And listen, I will be in touch. And when you are ready to tell us more about what you're doing, get back in touch with me and we'll bring you back on.
Thank you so much again for having me. And I'm glad I can come and share what I know with you guys tonight. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was just Sonya J. Bowser, author of Bully Bullies. Listen, y'all, reminder, Center Stage will be back on every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. Again, Center Stage is back, and we're here to stay. We're going to be back every Friday night right here, same bat time, same bat channel, from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. Also, Center Stage is looking for new sponsors, so if you're interested in advertising here on Center Stage, contact me at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. Again, if you're interested in being a sponsor here at Center Stage, if you like what we do and like to advertise here, we'd love to have you. Hit me up at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. Listen, guys, we got to get out of here. Got to make way for somebody else to do what I do. Listen, see you next Friday night, same time. Terry signing off. Bye-bye.